another angle on this idea of FAA coziness. And what is a JPDO anyway? I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest today is Bob Poole, who is Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation. You can find out more about the organization at www.reason.org. The Reason Foundation is a group which advocates free market solutions to the problems we face as opposed to government intervention whenever possible. And Bob has two e-newsletters that may be of interest to you, one on air traffic and one on airport security, which come out roughly monthly. Bob, thanks for taking some time out to join us and talk to our listeners today.
Good to be back with you, Paul.
Well, first of all, I have to ask you, just as an aside before we get into our main topics today, is this a busy time of the year for you in an election year?
Well, it's very busy, although aviation policy has basically been off the radar screen of the presidential candidates and most congressional candidates. It's with the economy, in the tailspin and the financial system in crisis and a lot of other problems. Aviation just isn't there. So we're biding our time, waiting to see, who's going to be in place, who's going to be the new FAA administrator, who's going to be the DOT secretary. That will probably make a lot of difference in terms of what kind of policies are on the agenda the next few years.
All right. Well, now, even though some of the focus in Washington may be off these problems that we look at every day, these problems continue on and have a life of their own.
And they do indeed.
I wanted to talk to you about a couple of them today. One of them is the air traffic organization and how it relates to the moving forth of the next generation air traffic control. And some controversy that's developed about the Joint Planning and Development Office and its effectiveness. Tell us a little bit about how Vicki Cox being named as, to oversee the move toward next gen,
right,
ticked off some people in Congress and why they were annoyed by that.
Right. Well, first of all, I mean, the FAA came to the decision that we need to start implementing the first stages of next gen, which certainly makes sense. And they decided, I think correctly, that the JPDO is primarily a planning and research organization, and that now that we need to start implementing, the ATO, the Air Traffic Organization, within FAA, ought to be the implementer and start working on the near-term items like ADS-B, and the JPDO should continue on the longer-term planning and making sure the research gets done to support that. So they made the decision to appoint a higher-level person, Vicki Cox, in the ATO to be in charge of the near-term implementation of next-gen things, while the JPDO now reports to her. And that's what really ticked off some members of Congress. They thought that that the JPDO should be reporting directly to the FAA administrator. So that's where the controversy came up.
You know, whenever I read a story about Congress getting incensed that they weren't consulted on something, when I close my eyes, I hear the voice of Foghorn Leghorn. I can't help it. Tell me what the JPDO is supposed to be and why this would have annoyed Congress.
Well, I mean, any time Congress doesn't get consulted, certain members at least get upset. They really like the idea of, even though, they have hundreds of different areas that they have to contend with and are not really expert on any of them, they like to think that they should be making key decisions all the way along the way. Now, some of us call that micromanagement, and believe that Congress's job is to approve a broad policy framework and provide the funding, and let the competent technical and aviation expert people get on with the job of doing it and not have to be second-guessed all the time. And that, I think, is that's a big part of what's wrong with the current system. But the members of Congress that are on committees that deal with aviation and related issues really feel like they should be approving all kinds of decisions that I think are really not at the level that they should be deciding.
All right. Now, the JPDO itself, Jerry Costello's comment was that there is a wide agreement within the aviation community that JPDO should report directly to the FAA administrator. And you took issue with that statement because a Government Accountability Office study found that wasn't necessarily important.
That's right. The GAO study didn't ask that question directly. They asked a lot of questions, though, about what key aviation stakeholders think about the JPDO's progress and its decision-making and so forth, and they got largely negative responses to that. And to me, that said, you know, there's really inadequate organizational structure at the time. Now, this GAO's questioning was before the FAA made the decision to elevate Vicki Cox and have the JPDO report to her, and to divide up the process between near-term implementation and longer-term research and planning. I raised the broader question that said, if you compare the JPDO-FAA process for moving toward next-gen with what Europe is doing under the CSAR, the Single European Sky implementation effort, the Europeans, I think, have a much better institutional model for the following reasons. In the European model, the key aviation stakeholders are part of the decision-making process. In the United States, the stakeholders are only advisory, and the government is totally in charge. And that's presumably because that's, you know, it would risk offending Congress with its micromanagement if the stakeholders were directly able with the FAA to make decisions about the schedule and timing of which pieces get implemented when and by how soon do people have to equip their planes and so forth. But that, I think, is the more fundamental issue, not to whom the JPDO reports.
All right. Now, this gets into another area in which I know that you have some strong feelings, and that is who should be running air traffic control and how this should all work and whether it should even be a function of government. When we come back from the break, let's talk a little bit about privatization and one of the conflicts of interest it might solve that maybe we haven't thought about in the past. Bob Poole is my guest, Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation. We'll be back in a moment. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
At Cirrus Design, we don't ignore the fundamentals of aviation design. We just give them an ingenious new interpretation. The Cirrus SR22 GTS, Cirrus's premium luxury ride that has come to define Cirrus aircraft as one of the world's elite. Every dream option from supple leather seats to an exhilarating 310 horsepower performance and speed come standard, giving new meaning to the phrase fully loaded. When flying the SR22 GTS, getting there is truly more than half the fun. To learn more, call 888-750-9000 or check us out on the web at cirrusdesign.com.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design. Clarity Aloft headsets employ patented Comply Canal tips composed of soft viscoelastic foam, the same foam tips used in advanced hearing aids. More than simple earplugs, these foam tips provide full-spectrum noise reduction and outstanding attenuation. This advanced technology is lab-tested, proving that viscoelastic passive noise reduction is superior to active noise reduction. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to the Aero News special feature. Paul Plack here, along with Bob Poole, Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation. We're here to talk about the relationship between the FAA and aviation, what it is and what it should be, in Bob's opinion. And it will be an opinion at times that's not shared by many of our listeners, but we want to get it out there and at least know what's going on. Bob, we have talked in the past about this word coziness, unquote, that has come up both in discussion of the FAA's relationship with the airlines and also more recently in the controversy about the certification process for the Eclipse 500 very light jet.
Right.
Now, you have put your finger on something that I had not heard anywhere else in the debate, and you say that one of the reasons that the FAA runs into difficulties here and is pulled in a couple of different directions has to do with the fact that we should be splitting the role of air traffic control system operator and other regulatory issues. Explain that in a little more depth for our listeners.
The FAA has two very different main functions. One is to be the safety regulator for all of aviation. Now, that includes certification of aircraft producers like Eclipse, licensing pilots and mechanics, setting the rules for using the airways in the sky, deciding on things like what's going to be the altitude to vertical separation for airways and all those key questions. On a day-to-day basis, running the business of air traffic control is a very different operation. And this, where you really get to the heart of this, is the definition of customers. The ATO, when it was created to unify the different pieces of FAA that deal with planning, managing, and running the air traffic system, correctly under Russ Chu said, look, our customers are the people that fly in our system, and we need to be responsive to what our customers want. And that's perfectly correct when you have a business that provides a service to customers. But that same management philosophy over the last decade or so seems to have crept into the FAA's safety regulatory function. They started talking about airlines and aircraft producers as their customers. And I'm not the only one. A number of other experts in aviation safety have questioned that and said, look, when you, the FAA safety regulators, are dealing with the people that you regulate, those are not customers. That's an inherently, to some extent, adversarial relationship and needs to be. So it's a very, very different relationship than the kind you want with the service business of air traffic control. So that, to me, supports the recommendation that Clint Oster, who chaired the Aviation Safety Commission about 15 years ago, has in his new book, Managing the Skies, that really the air traffic organization should be a separate organization, regulated for safety at arm's length by the remaining FAA, which should become a pure safety regulator. And this is basically, this is what ICAO has been recommending for the past decade as a standard, what should be the standard practice. It's also what several dozen countries have done in the last 15 years by separating air traffic control as an entity, usually keeping it within government, and in a few cases privatizing like in Canada and the UK. But the important part is the organizational separation and the arm's length distance between the safety regulation function of government, which would still be the FAA, and a separate organization, ideally funded directly by its customers, that provides the service of air traffic control.
Okay, ideally funded directly by its customers is setting off a little red light in the minds of a lot of people who know you.
That means the dreaded user fees.
Well, tell us, you wrote recently that the FAA's model for operation and funding is becoming more and more rare in the world.
It is. I mean, there are literally a handful of countries that don't fund their air traffic control with direct user fees, generally fees for overflights, fees for en route, and fees for terminal area operations. There's a handful of countries in Africa, very poor countries, and a handful of island mini-states in the Caribbean and in the Indian Ocean that don't charge fees and that fund their equivalent of the ATO out of the general government budget. But everywhere else, it's funded by direct fees. And this is whether or not the air traffic control operation has been physically, functionally separated. So we are the last, Canada was the last remaining Western civilized developed country that had an airline ticket tax as the main funding source. And that ended when NAV Canada was created 15 years ago.
All right. Now, this argument obviously is going to come up every cycle. We are going to be in an odd cycle now because we're going to be extended for at least a year under the old system without any permanent FAA reauthorization. Do you have any hopes in looking forward next year to this being resolved, or are we going to be kind of pulling up these old stories from the archives 4 years from now instead of five?
I don't think it will be resolved this coming year with the new Congress probably not wanting to get this issue off their agenda and so they can focus on the bigger ticket items. I suspect the status quo will be pretty much maintained. The one thing I would really hope, if we have, as seems likely, an Obama administration that's committed to change and reform, separating the ATO, leaving everything else the same, just separating it organizationally from the FAA, making it a separate modal administration within the DOT, would be a great reform that has support in both Democratic and Republican circles here and there. Former Clinton administration people support that. Brookings Institution has supported that. Reason Foundation supports that, and I would see that as a very important step forward, whether or not we do anything about how the funding is done.
Well, just an aside, just looking at things politically and how things are falling down during the election season, I have to think that an Obama administration would be more likely to fall in line with the characterization of general aviation as fat cats that's been attempted on the airline side.
That could be. That could be. I mean, that does have a populist kind of appeal, and we've seen some liberal left groups in just the last year take those sorts of attacks on fat cat business jet users and so forth. Their words, not mine. And so that could get some political traction in a more Democratic Congress with a Democratic administration.
Well, Bob, we always appreciate hearing your insights on these things, and I didn't even really have an idea what the JPDO was all about until you clarified that today. We always appreciate this, and we look forward to talking to you again.
Thanks very much, Paul.
My guest has been Bob Poole, Director of Transportation Studies for the Reason Foundation. You can find out more about Bob's newsletters at www.reason.org. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.